Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Karam Rose.
What a
and
great
gentlemen,
weekend.
Stephen A., I'm right there with you. It was unreal. I said to myself, am I being prisoner of the moment? Is it because we haven't had the tournament a couple of years? But if we have one more upset, it was like one after the next after the next. It was so much fun. I mean, we got spring back and we got the tournament back and it feels like some normalcy. By the way, Loyola Chicago, how about that upset after number one Illinois? Their coach, Coach Moser, will join us in just a moment. Can't wait to talk to him. And of course, Dickie V will be here to break down all the fun, guys. So a wild weekend in sports, upset galore. Max, what do you think's the best story? This is a tough question, but the best story of the tournament thus far?
It is a tough story. And Loyola Chicago, I mean, Illinois being a one seed. Illinois, I had them against Gonzaga in the finals. I think a lot of people did. A lot of people were picking them to win the whole thing. That's low-hanging fruit. But I'm actually going to go with Syracuse over West Virginia. And I'll tell you why, because we're talking about story. And when you talk about story, you really need to look at the characters. And these are characters that we know. I mean, Jim Boeheim, Coach Boeheim, was not supposed to beat. It's not a one, but it is a three seed. We're talking about an 11-3 here. And what is he really known for? What's Boeheim known for? The 2-3 zone, right? So what are you really saying with that? Well, one way you could look at it is, okay, college kids, when the lights are shining brightest, go ahead, hit threes with the game on the line in the tournament. Let's see you do it. And they couldn't. As often is the case, they couldn't. But also Syracuse couldn't score. And Buddy Boeheim, the coach's son, background is, of course, he's accused of nepotism. His son is taking a spot that belongs to someone else. And he can't throw it in the ocean in the first half. And who goes up to him at halftime and tells him, you just keep shooting? None other than Jerry McNamara himself. And let me tell you something. I loved Carmelo Anthony the year they
McNamara
went all the way.
McNamara was special, though.
He was
Yeah, he was. I haven't gotten him.
I loved Carmelo, and I picked them to go all the way. When everyone was talking about TJ Ford, because I was like, Carmelo's the best player in the country. His team's going to win. But if they don't have McNamara, they don't win. They don't win without McNamara. And for that dude to go up to the coach's kid with it's nepotism, he doesn't belong there, and he's ice cold. For him to say, you keep shooting, and for Buddy to talk about it after the game. Because then what happens? West Virginia wakes up in the second half. And they start hitting those shots. And it's Buddy Boeheim who keeps them in the game by hitting his shots. The fact that they actually go on to win that game, to me, is the best story of the first round.
I will say this to you, though. I like that choice. I don't mind it at all. But I wouldn't accuse anybody. Nobody would accuse Syracuse of nepotism this year because Buddy Boeheim's the best player on the team.
Sure.
Now, if he was some marginal player or something like that, that would be
not recently, right?
No, he's the best player on the team. He's the man on that
That's
team.
That's right.
Okay, and he's showing up. So it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Maybe the best story in the NCAA. I give you that. I can't believe I'm saying this because my brother, Galen Gordon, that used to work here, is now at ABC as a senior vice president. Congratulations to him. Where did he graduate from, Max?
Huge congrats to
Oral Roberts. He graduated from Oral Roberts. And the second that they won, first they beat Ohio State. And I'm looking for the brother because we supposed to go out to dinner. And he's like, what about Oral Roberts? And then last night they beat Florida. And he's like this, yo, what about Oral Roberts? So, again, Galen Gordon, congratulations. I said Oral Roberts. He said Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts. Say it faster. Oral Roberts. I don't know how to pronounce the damn name. Oral Roberts, okay? In Tulsa, Oklahoma, I believe. Look, this brother, what is this, Obinar or whatever. This brother's averaging 29 points a game. He dropped 28 last night. He was shooting from all over the place. Abness, I mean, he dropped 26. These brothers can play. They can play. They beat Ohio State. And they beat Florida, and the second number 15 seed to reach a Sweet 16. Look, I gotta give props where props are due. When we talk about Cinderellas, we gotta talk about that because Cinderellas is what you expect of a March Madness. And here's the twist to all of this, Max. In the cold open, I brought up Duke, Kentucky, out of the mix. Usually when we think, so you think Cinderella stories, okay, it's going to be somebody that gets to the Final Four or even just the Sweet 16. We're perfectly fine with that, and that's it, because the blue blood, blue bloods of college basketball will show up onto the scene, at least one or two of them, and it's going to be a wrap. I'm sorry. We can't assume that this year. COVID-19, the complications it has caused. You know, one game got canceled, and I forgot who it was that gets the advance because there was no game played Saturday or Sunday, rather. So I'm looking at it from that perspective. And then I'm thinking about this. I love what I'm seeing from Baylor. They're number one seed. I love what I'm seeing from Houston, even if it's survived by the skin of their teeth. They're number two seed. Villanova, Jay Wright, and those boys are in the mix and blowing teams out, by the way. Okay, I was very disappointed in what I saw from Georgetown. They couldn't hit the backside of the ball.
Yeah, that was the one where you thought Colorado, maybe go on a little bit of a run.
I watched game from start to finish. They got blown out because they couldn't hit shots, right, and Colorado could hit shots. But Oral Roberts can play. They can hit shots. They're a number 15 seed. And their name alone, you think of religion, okay? You don't think basketball. But Oral Roberts is a number 15 seed and they're in the Sweet 16. And oh, by the way, they could potentially make some noise. Plays Arkansas on Saturday. They can beat Arkansas. It's going to get interesting.
Chicago probably a little underseeded. They were good. But Illinois, Illinois was beating the brakes off of good teams by the end of the season.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought, you know what, everyone's talking about Gonzaga, Illinois is going to go all the way. And so that's a monumental upset. And I just want to say something.
That was the number one seed I thought wouldn't beat it.
About what Molly, what you had to say, like you had to ask yourself, is it because, you know, this time last year there was no tournament? Is it because we're coming off a year with fewer sports played than ever before and we're just starving for it? Or is it because it's really this good? And
it's, of course, good.
The answer is both. Like, it is this good, but it feels even better than it is. It is every bit as good as you think it is, but it feels even better because we've been starving for this. So to get this now is such it's a godsend.
I have not seen the opening weekend of March Madness, the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, this haphazard. Yep. And that's what I love about it. And I'm not blaming COVID for that. You got some of these cats that can just ball. I mean, look at that kid from Ohio, Preston, can ball. Look at Oral Roberts and Obinar, he can ball. I'm just watching these brothers here. Buddy Boeheim, that's an NBA player. Just so y'all know, he's got the right size on him and he can hit shots.
6'6".
If you got the right size on you and you can hit perimeter shots, there is a place for you in the NBA. Jim Boeheim's son can play. I'm just telling.
Under
I'm
pressure.
I'm just telling you.
Can play under
he
pressure.
He can play.
No question, guys. It was so much fun. It's just getting started. So far, we have 4 double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16 and counting. And I just want to say really quickly, I feel awful for VCU. I know they'll come back next year. They'll come back stronger. Yes. But that was such a tough break for them. And obviously having to concede with Oregon with the COVID testing and all that thing. And it wasn't the players' fault and all of that. So that was tough to hear that story. Tough break also for the Lakers, fellas. I mean, AD's already out dealing with that calf, and now we have LeBron with a high ankle sprain, and we know that can take quite a few weeks. So the Lakers are in the third spot in the West, but 2.5 games ahead of the sixth spot. Stephen A., which team is under the most pressure to capitalize off LeBron and AD's absence right now and really gain some ground?
I would say the Los Angeles Clippers, but before I get into that, may I take a step back and give props to one of the greatest point guards the game of basketball has ever seen, the CP3, who recorded his 10,000th assist last night. I mean, let's give props where it's due. It was against those Lakers without LeBron. We get all of that, and congratulations to him. One of the great, pure, quintessential point guards the game of basketball has ever seen. Having said all of that, I would answer the question directly by saying that the Los Angeles Clippers are the ones, as far as I'm concerned, who should have the most pressure. I know the Utah Jazz have been playing well, and we can get into the other teams as well, but here's the reality of the situation. There's another team in Los Angeles, a team that has Kawhi Leonard, a 2-time NBA champion and a 2-time NBA Finals MVP. I don't know how many times I got to harp on this before someone gravitates to what I'm saying. Kawhi Leonard owes us a matchup against LeBron James. You strolled into L.A., okay? You sat up there and demanded that the Los Angeles Clippers pay the farm, mortgage the farm, the house, and everything in between, okay, just so you can get Paul George. You got Paul George, who isn't playing shabby, by the way, is an all-star and is playing like an all-star. I know Kawhi Leonard's numbers are there. This is not about his numbers. This is about the willingness, not the ability, because I'm not questioning his ability, the willingness to lead, to galvanize, to maximize the potential surrounding you so you can take this organization to heights it has never seen before. I will remind you, Max Kellerman, as a man that lived in Los Angeles, I believe it was for 6 years.
Correct.
That's what you said, right?
Correct.
You hosted Max. You know,
I was
Max
the voice of Los Angeles.
The voice of Los Angeles, Max and Marcellus, even though John Island
was settle down. Said,
oh, yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. The bottom line
Sounds
is this.
Guy.
He's a great guy. Max and Marcellus,
Mason
you
too.
Had your radio show, Mason too, you had your radio show in L.A. The bottom line is this. You know this. The Clippers have never even been to the conference finals. Never even been, let alone NBA finals.
In their history.
In their history.
In their history.
Okay, now guess what?
It's true.
So I have a situation where it's Kawhi with Paul George, okay? You got enough of a crew there. Wait, they'll probably make a move before the trading deadline expires because they need a point guard, which is a discussion we'll have a little bit later on in the show, all right? Because several teams need a point guard, and we understand all of that. But here's the reality. It's on Kawhi Leonard. And if LeBron – I ain't worried about LeBron. LeBron will be back. He'll be ready to go come playoff time. It's probably not as bad as they're saying it is just because they want to give him additional rest because he won't take it on his own because he only missed one game this season up to this point. The bottom line is this. The opportunity is there because remember, I am anticipating, just for the record, I am anticipating, ladies and gentlemen, that there will be fans in attendance come June and July at least 50% capacity. That's what I'm assuming, considering the news that the president has disseminated in terms of 100 million people getting the vaccine and tens of millions additionally expected to receive the vaccine by June. I believe that combined with NBA players, because we had the Atlanta Hawks, we had the New Orleans Pelicans take their vaccine shots, I think you will see more
he
people.
He said July 4th independence from
right.
the vaccine. June is pretty close.
June is pretty close. I'm not talking 100% capacity,
yep.
But I'm talking about it's not unreasonable to see 50 to 75% capacity at an NBA arena come playoff time. And so when I'm looking at it from that perspective, again, the Staples Center, with Kawhi against LeBron, do you have any idea how many people are looking forward to that? I'm number one on the list. I saw the crown dangling from the mirror with the New Balance commercials. I saw the L.A. sign up there when you driving in your convertible looking like you from Boys in the Hood. I saw all of that, okay? Now I want the matchup. And LeBron has given me every indication that he will be ready because he was ready. He was waiting in the conference finals last year, Max. He was waiting, and the Clippers didn't show up. Well, guess what? I'm looking for it now. I don't give a damn. Ty Lue can coach, all right? Ty Lue can coach. Paul George can play. Kawhi Leonard is a superstar. His numbers validate that. Where's the matchup? That's what I want to see. That's where the pressure should lie.
Done?
Yes.
Everything you just said is true. Mm-hmm. There's no lies detected in anything you just said. And yet.
I'm not a liar.
And yet, it's not the whole truth, is it, Stephen A. Smith?
I believe it is.
Because you're not fooling anybody, at least not at this desk.
Okay.
You need Lakers Clippers because you get to go out to L.A.
Yeah, that's true.
And the travel is from Staples to Staples. Well, you're not going anywhere.
I mean,
you're just spending the whole Western Conference in L.A.
That is an angle that I can't deny.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, well, of course not.
That's right.
Who you got caught
but
red-handed. Fingerprints all over.
I will say this little nugget of facts for you. I'm going to be in L.A. anyway.
But you don't have to get
not
on a
like
plane.
I'm not going
to
be there.
You don't have to,
I'm be there
you
anyway.
Don't have to fly to Utah or anything like
That's
that.
True.
You stay right in L.A. Now,
that is true.
Now,
is
let
true.
Me just say, it's a perfectly good argument. Lakers-Clippers, I used to tease Clippers fans on L.A. radio. They're going to hang another first-round banner because they've never been out of the second round, even with Blake and DeAndre and CP3 and everybody.
Yep.
But hold on. Let's slow down. Let's pump the brakes with Kawhi must do this and that. He's a two-time Finals MVP, not a one-time, a two-time Finals MVP.
Yes.
With two different teams.
Yes.
And Stephen A., you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Okay.
You can lead Paul George to the playoffs, but you can't make him not hit the side of the backboard in a game seven in the fourth quarter. Like, Kawhi was magnificent in the playoffs up until game seven. He had a bad game seven against the Nuggets. But he was magnificent until then, as always. Paul George was not, and that's the problem. I can't put this all on Kawhi and then say it's the Clippers. You know who is under the most pressure to capitalize off this? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Jazz have been the best team in basketball for parts of this year. Jokic.
For parts of this year, yes.
Jokic has a good argument for MVP. He best does. Offensive player in the league. The Suns were 8-0 in the bubble. They added CP3. They look like a threat. The Mavs are rounding into form. The answer is the Portland Trailblazers.
Okay.
The same reason I said Lillard is a real sleeper for MVP the other day, if LeBron doesn't get it, if he's out for an extended period of time, you sat up here on TV, apologized to Damian Lillard. We're not going to ignore
it. He deserves it. He deserves it.
But we all can't ignore the pressure on a guy who sees himself as a champion, who we all smell it on. Like, before he's done, that dude's going to win a chip. Who didn't go ring chasing. Who stayed right where he was. Who carried his team on his shoulders through injury. No McCollum, the whole thing in the first half. McCollum's back now. He's got time to play himself into real, like, CJ McCollum level shape.
I mean, he's already balling now.
And,
he's already balling. CJ's special.
And Nurkic should be back. The point is, what happened when Michael Jordan left the league for a couple years? What we saw was, here's a parallel universe. Hakeem Olajuwon's the man. If it wasn't Jordan, whose era would be? Hakeem. Jordan was gone 2 years. Hakeem won two. Jordan came back. That was the end of that. If there's a window right now in the Western Conference, because LeBron is out for an extended period of time, AD maybe isn't the same because of injury. That story, if that plays out, I'm looking at all these different teams, but none more than Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers. This is his time.
I will tell you this. I think it's his time when it comes to, I think this is the best shot Damian Lillard has of capturing league MVP honors. I'll give you that. I definitely think that if he continues to ascend the way that he has been, with LeBron being out, with Kyrie balling, alongside James Harden and Embiid being out, I think this is a perfect opportunity for Damian Lillard to step into the fray and literally claim league MVP honors. I think that's definitely possible. But in terms of the pressure, I don't believe the pressure is on Portland nearly as much as the Clippers. I think that when you consider the fact that they've been injured, yeah, you come back and you look at them. Nurkic don't play defense. I love him offensively, but defensively, it's just not there. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, we know that they're an elite backcourt in the game of basketball, but you still wonder about some of the parts surrounding them because there's not enough basketballs, and you know, we're adding Covington, still Carmelo there, etc. My issue with Portland, and I don't want to listen, I'm not advocating nobody be fired or anything like that. I like Terry Stotts as a person. There's something missing. And here's why.
Third star.
Let me tell you what I think about Terry Stotts. I think that he's the kind of guy that knows the X's and O's. There's no question about it. He's going to have his team prepared. But you know something, though, that element, that ingredient, Max, where you just have the ability as a coach to peel something out of people.
Doc Rivers.
And then, I mean, you don't even have to say Doc Rivers. It could be Pop. It could be anybody. At some point in time or another, even though we've seen it from Rick Carlisle, we've seen it from Pop, we've seen it from Doc, Jeff Van Gundy never won a championship, but we've seen it from him. Stan Van Gundy hasn't won a title, but we've seen it from him. I mean, it's not about the titles. There's just something about Terry Stotts that that's all you can say. It's like, he's good, it's there, but you look at the talent that they got around him, and you just feel like there's something they need something to peel. You just look at Portland,
right,
and you just see something a little extra.
I'll just say.
That ain't coming out.
Wrap it up here, fellas.
All right. I mean, old Shea has done a very good job up there putting a good team together. They're always about a player short. They've been about a player short.
Again, I know Terry Stotts is no basketball.
Right. So Max says it's Dame time. Stephen A's focused on the claw. But Stephen A, here's the good news.
Yeah.
So you have your vaccine. Utah's a short flight, but you're going to be salty out there in Salt Lake City. That's what I think it's looking like. So much for LA.
Do you know?
Shall see.
Do you know? Are you Miss Cleo? Do you know?
I know.
You don't know. You're guessing.
I know.
You're just like the rest of us.
I know.
Okay.
Dallas, please.
Goodbye. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. To the NFL, fellas, we go. Carson Wentz is out. Jalen Hurts is there. And Nick Foles, who led Philly to a Super Bowl, could be back. Here's Jeremy Fowler on that possibility.
I wouldn't take a Nick Foles Philadelphia reunion off the table right now, because a few weeks ago, when Chicago was looking to get Carson Wentz, they included Nick Foles in a potential package to Philadelphia. Now, Wentz ultimately went to Indianapolis, but those talks had been ongoing. They're in place. All they would have to do this week is revive them.
Reunited, and it feels so good, maybe. Stephen A., you spent about 18 years in Philly. Tell me this. Do you think the Eagles should bring back Nick Foles?
No. I think his time has passed. Me personally, I mean, listen, how old is Nick Foles right now? Let me look this up. He's 32 years of age, so you would think that he's got a lot of time, and I understand that. He's been relatively fragile for the most part. He's not a guy that you want to place the franchise on his shoulders. Now, I know what the thinking is. Jalen Hurts is that dude. Nick Foles is there as a security blanket, a backup in the event that Jalen Hurts is not working or he gets hurt. I understand that thinking. But if you're going to move in a different direction. Last time I checked, we talked about a multitude of problems that the Philadelphia Eagles have had. And you yourself, Matt, has alluded to their offensive line troubles and what have you. We know that they're expected to get receivers. They just lost DeSean Jackson to the Los Angeles Rams. He's a free agent. He went over to the Los Angeles Rams after they released him in February. We just look at Rager right now, and that's pretty much what you have. And so when you look at it from that perspective and you're thinking about the direction that they're going in as a franchise, there's too many question marks. They didn't run the football nearly as much as they should with Sanders and Scott. We understand that. Wide receivers is question mark. Your offensive line, it's a question mark. Your new coach, from a schematic perspective, that's a question mark, even though he came from Indianapolis. So I look at all of these things going on right now with the Philadelphia Eagles. That's not an ideal situation for Nick Foles to walk into. Nick Foles needs to walk into a situation where you're a credible team in a playoff hunt, potentially competing for a championship. You're at least good at all of those requisite positions, running back, wide receiver, offensive line. Things have to be, to some degree, ideal for him. I don't view that to be the case with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think a legitimate argument could be made that they're going to finish in last place next season. Dak is expected to come back with the Cowboys. We love the job that Joe Judge did with the New York Giants, and Saquon Barkley is going to be back, and they just picked up their kid Galladay from Detroit. Now you've got the Washington Redskins. We know their defense is elite. We get all of that.
The Washington team.
Yeah. I apologize. The Washington team. And so when we look at it from that perspective, I'm just saying, excuse me, you can literally sit here and make a legitimate argument that the Philadelphia Eagles could end up being in last place because of all the parts around the quarterback. This is not an indictment against Nick Foles. I'm just saying, based on his resume, his history of durability or lack thereof, my attitude is it's not an ideal situation for him to walk into. This is not what it was years ago when you had Carson Wentz as the starter and you had a Super Bowl contender as a roster that you had to work with. That is not what's going on in Philadelphia right now. I don't think that would be a good situation for Nick Foles.
I think a probably be a pretty good idea for the Eagles. I mean, you're not going to enter the season with one quarterback. You need a backup quarterback. And if you give the job to Jalen Hurts, that's fine. But why not bring back Nick Foles? Nick Foles' issue with the Bears, I think, period. It's not about the weapons he has. It's about whether or not he's protected. He's not a mobile quarterback. He's not the kind of guy whose talent is going to overcome no offensive line. And the Bears didn't have one. And so he was bad. He's the kind of guy where if you can protect him, he can throw the ball deep. And he can do it under pressure, and he can get teammates to want to play with him and for him. That's the kind of guy. He can also act as a mentor to a young quarterback, because he's not going to start a quarterback controversy. He's not going to release anything to the press the day, you know, that Jalen Hurts has a start about how he wants out of town the way Carson Wentz did. Let me mention something about Nick Foles, who I've loved since he was at Arizona, right? And everyone was talking about back then, obviously, Andrew Luck and Barkley in the Pac-12 at the time. And I watched Nick Foles carve SC up and thought, wait a minute. You know, an Osweiler, because he was tall at Arizona State, Foles is a sharp, he was really threading the needle. And then he gets to the Eagles, and Stephen A., if you take out his rookie year, like, okay, his rookie
Nick Foles?
Year. Yeah, take out his rookie year with the Eagles.
I thought you were saying period, because I don't hold against him his time with Jeff Fisher.
No, right. Take out his role. I'm not in St. Louis. I mean, Take out his rookie year with the Eagles. Nick Foles had a season of 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. If you look at his quarterback one-loss record with the Eagles, it's 3-1. It's 24-8 if you take out the rookie year and add the playoffs. Even if you add the rookie year, it's about 2-1, 25-13, I believe it is. I just did the math. Nick Foles wins 3 times as much as he loses since his rookie season with the Eagles, but you have to protect him. When you protect him, he can be an effective quarterback who won't start a quarterback controversy, who will mentor a young guy, and who can catch fire if the young guy goes down at any point or falters and the team is in contention. I understand it for the Eagles.
You can understand it. I don't think you should approve of it, because the Eagles are not what they used to be. Let's face reality. When have the Eagles ever appeared to be dysfunctional? I would remind you, Max Kellerman, that at the end of the season, you called for the head coach and the GM, Howie Roseman, to be gone.
And the quarterback.
You know what I'm saying? And the quarterback to be gone. 2 of them you succeeded with. 1 of them stuck around in Howie Roseman. You've had serious questions about leadership coming up from the top as it pertains to Jeffrey Lurie because of what he allowed Carson Wentz to become. From a personality perspective, we look at the roster itself, it's questionable. And as a result of that, you're going to invite Nick Foles back into that? I don't think so. Well, I really don't.
I'll say one thing about the Eagles. A lot of problems with the offensive line. And they get Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson back. Mm-hmm. And if those guys stay healthy and you add 2 offensive linemen like that, they get another offense. They like most of their offensive line should be healthy this year. You add that to the Eagles, that's the whole shooting match for Nick mm-hmm. Foles. And I think that they're in – look, I agree with you. At this moment, you want me to order them in the standings? Eagles last place. Yeah. Probably last place.
Right.
In the NFC East.
Yeah.
That offensive line gets healthy, right, and they're coming back. More. And they have Nick Foles, maybe not.
We're going to have more on the NFC East a little later because some other teams made some moves. So we will discuss who's poised to win it all. By the way, you guys owe me because now I lost a bet. We're going to get to Lamar Jackson too. We're out of time. So now we need to squeeze it in later in the show. The producer said we couldn't do it. I said we did. So buy me some time later. Fair? I need to win.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. And you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. To the college game we go. The Loyola Chicago Ramblers upset number one seed Illinois yesterday, advancing to the Sweet 16. Before the game, their most famous fan, team chaplain Sister Jean, delivered a team prayer that could also have been a stellar game plan. I believe in the power of prayer, y'all. Here it is. As we play the Fighting Illini, we ask for special help to overcome this team and get a great win, she said. We hope to score early, make our opponents nervous. We have a great opportunity to convert rebounds as this team makes about 50% of layups and 30% of its 3 points. Our defense can take care of that. I love this woman. Let's welcome in Loyola Chicago's head coach, Porter Moser, to the show. Now, Coach Moser, quite a prayer, but quite a game plan. I mean, how similar was yours to Sister Jean? She knows her stuff.
No, I know. Sometimes, Sister, we got the game clock starting to run. Her prayers sometimes are like 3 minutes. She's very detail-oriented, but she's been part of who we are. And the, you know, her, she's always she's really sharp for being her age. And we get an email after every game. And no, but that's she's a big part of who we are.
Coach Moser, congratulations. Good to see you again. I got to ask this question, though, because obviously prayers are incredibly important, but so is defense. And I think that what's flown under the radar is the fact that you guys got the number one defense in the nation. Nobody has talked about that. Coming into this game against the Fighting Illini, what were your expectations? What were you looking for? What were you worried most about when it came to this team?
Transition defense. Stephen A., they're elite at going downhill off ball screens and downhill in transition. And so we really wanted to just make a wall in transition, and then we really wanted to bottle up their ball screens because, you know, Io is an All-American, but Frazier, Curbelo, they got some phenomenal guards that can go downhill. And that was a big thing of it. And it's interesting you said defense, too, because we've been one of the top defensive teams, and we've kind of parlayed what you guys talk about in the NBA. To the two-way players. Because sometimes in college when you're recruiting, you're saying, oh, defense, defense. Now it's kind of a buzzword. We talk about, hey, be a two-way player. Michael, Kobe, Kawhi, Klay Thompson, two-way players. And I think that's something we really sold in the recruiting process. And our guys believe in the length and switching of being a two-way player.
Yep, those are the best players in the game.
That's right.
Coach, how valuable is it and what kind of contribution do seniors who have been in a Final Four make to this team? What difference does it make?
It's huge. So we have two players that are only two from that team. So that's pretty cool how we've been able to sustain this. But those two are two big guys, Cameron Krubig and Lucas Williamson. And here's where it's important. We won the Missouri Valley Championship 2 weeks ago, and we cut down the nets. We celebrated. All the young guys were going crazy because we're going to the NCAA tournament. After about an hour of celebration, we get back to the locker room, and the two old seniors are like, you guys, this is great, but it gets way better from here. We lock in, this it gets way better. And when, you know, when a coach says that, it's one thing. But when you got players saying that message in the locker room, it carries a lot more weight. And Krut and Lucas are great leaders that were with us on the Final Four run.
Coach Moser, one of the things that I don't want to allow folks to do, I know that this year has been incredibly difficult from the standpoint of COVID-19 and some of the complications that it has caused, and it's ravaged the world of sports. We get that. But what I'm trying to make sure everybody understands, this has been a phenomenal weekend of college basketball. And it's like, I don't think this is happening because of COVID-19. I don't think this is happening because we don't see the blue bloods like Duke or Kentucky in the mix. I think this is happening because I think there's some parity that's really elevating and proliferating in the world of college basketball. Can you speak to that at all, sir?
Yeah, amen, Stephen A. I think there's been some great basketball here. And what is also is with the pandemic, a lot of these teams that had freshmen and young guys, I found it with mine. You're about 4 or 5 months behind in development with those guys because you didn't get them. And you're seeing some older veteran teams, some older players that allows the parity, that allows some teams that were older and had some experience that maybe that this year there's rising to the top. And I think there's a lot of parity in college basketball right now. But to speak to how awesome this is, I know we're in a bubble and I know we can't have full capacity, but there's still such an energy at the games. I mean, your promo coming in before it was like 20 minutes ago. That was my kids. That was my boys with their arms up. They haven't been to a game all year. Loyola had no games. So just the excitement for the fans here, March Madness, it's been really cool to see the buzz. And for us at Loyola to have an in-state game like that against two ranked teams in our state, a lot of buzz in Chicago, and it's fun for the sport of college basketball.
Coach, you mentioned how Krutwig makes contributions as a senior and to keep the team steady. And as not just not to mention on the court, by the way, as a coach, how do you now approach your next game? You're in the Sweet 16. You are now the higher seeded team. You're the better seeded team heading into this game, coming off a monster upset against the number one. How do you avoid the kind of, you know, like you don't have that same kind of underdog thing going now into the next round?
Same as we always do. We got a process. We got a process of a confident preparation. We have a respectful prep for everybody. We take one game at a time with that. But, you know, we always feel like we're chasing. You know, whether it's an exhibition game against a Division II team, we just got this mentality we're constantly chasing. And, you know, we played the ACC tournament champs in game one. We have the Big Ten tournament champs in game two. Now we got the Pac-10 tournament champs in game three. So we got three Power Five, you know, tournament championships are hot. So we frame it that way. And we're the Missouri Valley Conference champs. So we feel like we're hot. So I just think this mentality in the locker room of always chasing and taking one game at a time. We don't think about underdog or being favored or underdogs. It's just we're chasing what we want. And that's a national championship.
To piggyback off of what Max brought up, I mean, this ain't your first rodeo. You guys were in the Final Four 3 years ago or so. I'm wondering how much does that play? How much do you believe that will help you in the next few days in preparation of what's to come this next weekend or so? The experience that you already have, can you speak to that?
Yes, and I went to Boston to visit with Brad Stevens after our first Final Four run, and we sat there and talked because I wanted to pick his brain about Butler, like going back a second time. And he said he felt it. It was so hard that season of just the pressure and everything. But once you got in, people recognized the name. They knew you could win. They knew you could advance. They knew you could upset them. And that became a factor, and your guys play more loose. And I felt that. Sometimes when you're in a league where it really comes down to that conference tournament to get that bid, and it's there's a lot of pressure. And then once you get into the tournament, you got some confidence. You can play loose, shoot loose. And I think that's the way we're at. I think at Loyola, we've been there. We're here again. And I think our guys are loose. I mean, we're respectful confidence.
Yeah, really making a name for the school. And it's a very interesting story about reaching out to Brad Stevens. Let me ask you this, Coach, real hard-hitting question here. But during the game, they mentioned everyone's kind of fallen in love with Cameron Crutwig and his personality. Does he really play a mean harmonica, or was that just talk?
No, he plays. He's an old school guy. He's an old school guy. He'll sing. He'll play. He does it all. He's just a wonderful kid. My mentor that I coached with, Rick Majerus, would have loved him because he always wanted to know if the big man's the first question he always asked me. He said, Porter, when he recruited a big man, does he love basketball? Krut loves basketball. The kid's and he loves life. And he's just a fun kid to coach. He's a heck of a player. Doesn't pass the eye test all the time, but I have him on my team anytime. He's a great player.
Yeah, seems like it. Fun to watch. All right, best of luck against Oregon State. Thank you so much for the time, and huge congrats on the major upset to get things started. Sure. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.